Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars. Join NITP this morning for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Limits.
Good morning and welcome to For Your Benefit. Well, we did Roth TSP 101. We even did a little 102 last week. That was Monday, May 7th. And here we are, Monday, May 14th, and Tammy Flanagan, guest co-host, co-host, and myself, Bob Lyons. Tammy is senior benefit, what would you say?
That's it, senior benefit director, NITP.
NITP, weekly GovExec columnist, lecturer extraordinaire, and knower of all things federal. Good morning, Tammy.
Good morning, Bob.
Been a few weeks. Now we have, as our special guest, Greg Long, Executive Director, Thrift Savings Plan, or is it Thrift Savings Board? I always mess that up.
Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board.
No, I want to go on. Okay. Yes. All righty.
Good morning, Bob. Good morning, Tammy.
Good morning, Greg.
It's great to have you, and the listening crew, I'm sure, is very happy that you're here. And as well, we have Kim Weaver, Director of External Affairs, Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board.
Good morning.
Did I do that right?
You got it.
Okay. And Larissa Stokes, Assistant General Counsel, same, Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
It's great. A tax egghead, too?
Yes.
Well, so am I. So that was not an insult. It was a compliment.
From one to another.
Yes, from one to another. All righty. So let's get going. General comments to start it off. We got a bunch of questions that we have emails, but anything we want to hit at initially?
Well, we're here, of course, to talk about a major improvement and a major development in the TSP, which is the launch of Roth TSP accounts. And this is obviously a major step forward and a major enhancement to the TSP. And we wanted to make sure that we get the word out. We are facing a significant challenge, we think, in making sure that our 4.5 million participants who now have the ability to move into future contributions into Roth TSP accounts, the challenge is making sure that they understand it. And it is a complicated feature. There are some pros, some cons, and some open question marks that participants need to consider before they choose to go into Roth TSP. And hopefully what we'll be able to do today is to help answer some of those questions.
Yeah, and I think one of the basic caution signs, if you will, we mentioned it in the green room. You mentioned it. Pay me now or pay me later.
That's exactly right.
So if you invest in the Roth TSP, there will be no tax benefit going in. Right.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So the decision for a participant, I don't want any participant to come away saying Roth is free. The choice is not if you pay taxes, but when do you pay taxes? And the traditional program, that the TSP that's been around for 25 years, what it allows you to do is contributions reduce your taxable income that year, and therefore it's a pay me later design. Don't pay taxes on that income now. Pay taxes 20, 25, 30 years later when you take it out. The Roth flips that on its head. It says instead, pay taxes now on that money and contribute it. And if it's done correctly under the five-year rules and the rules that apply, then you don't pay taxes on the way out. So pay me now, which is what Roth is, or pay me later, which is what the traditional TSP design was and still is.
Okay, once you get beyond the door there and you've made your decision now or later, it's the same investment choices in general.
Yes.
I shouldn't be so broad with that because that could be wrong, but it's the same funds in the Roth TSP as there is in the traditional. Am I all right with that?
That's exactly correct. And they are the exact same investment options. The only difference is how are they treated for tax purposes. And it is a significant change when it comes to what your payroll office needs to do. And it's just a significant change when you take a look at how we track those dollars. But if you put your Roth money in the C fund, it's the same C fund as if it's the traditional money. There's no difference in the actual investments. It's the tax treatment of those dollars.
Okay. So it's the same kitchen, different house.
Yes, it's a good way to put it.
Okay, sorry. All righty. Let's start off with some stats, just to give people some background on what they can and can't do with the money as far as growing it. I don't want to be misleading to say that all the TSP million-dollar balances were made in the TSP, but you corrected me earlier that some of them were. So roughly how many million-dollar accounts are there, or is that an improper question?
No, it's and I think Kim has the stats.
Yes, there are 260 people who have more than $1 million in the TSP.
Wow. They said it couldn't be done in 1987. Look where we are.
Absolutely.
we have a few.
It is important to recognize, though, that we have 4.5 million participants, and so a very tiny number have, you know, been very diligent and been lucky, and quite frankly, most of them transferred big balances from somewhere else. Maybe they worked at, you know, some software startup or some big law firm and then move big 401k balances into the TSP, which we encourage, but it's very few of this is homegrown money.
Yeah, the point you're making is if you don't have $1 million, don't feel bad.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because right. What is the average account balance? Probably a lot less than a million.
The average is 112,000.
That's more like it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Still not chicken feed.
No. Not chicken feed, right. And our job and one of the things that we focus on is making sure that for the vast majority of the people that they, first of all, just participate and make sure you get the full match if you're under the FERS system. So at least 5% if you're under FERS. And then make smart choices after you get it in. And if you do all those things, then put it into the right amount, maximize the match, make some reasonable choices, you'll probably be okay. And that's the way the system is designed.
Well, what I've noticed too is people who transferred from CSRS to FERS back in 87, some of them are having second thoughts saying, did I do the right thing? I banked all my, you know, choices on the TSP. And they'll think that they had made a mistake because of the big market crash in 2008. Mm-hmm. And there was another blip a few years before that. But what I'll do is I'll put a line on the chalkboard and I'll say, look at the left side. This is where you'd be if you had stayed CSRS. That's mm-hmm. easy enough to figure out. Here's where you are now. Here's your FERS basic benefit. Here's the Social Security you've gained. And then here's your TSP balance. When I add the Social Security to the FERS, the deficit is not that great. And mm-hmm. I said, do you think you can take this much out of your TSP every month for the rest of your life and still have money left? And they're like, oh, yeah, it's not as bad as I thought.
Right.
So I think the two systems are very comparable. It's just three parts versus one.
And that's, Tammy, it's a very good point, and we try to underline that whenever we can, which is that the TSP is one piece of a three-part system. And that three-part system, FERS is designed so that the three parts together equate to approximately what the old CSRS system provided by itself. Right. And when you do the math, exactly as you said, it's a very comparable design.
Mm-hmm. And even the contributions, I think, are comparable because even though the TSP requires participation, if you put in 5%, your agency is, the way I look at it, giving you a deferred 5% pay raise. Mm-hmm. And so I think the required contributions are very comparable as well, mm-hmm. at least so far.
Yep.
You wrote an article or two on that, correct, Tammy?
Mm-hmm. And every time I do, I get a lot of flack from people who say, how can you say FERS is as good as CSRS? I'm not saying it's as good as. I'm saying it can do just the same thing. It can accomplish the same goal of providing you a comfortable retirement.
Okay.
But you got to know how it works.
And those articles, for those of you listening that might want to read them, they're on our website, NITPINC.com. Left-hand side, Tammy's GovExec articles.
Along with a link to the show.
Yes. All righty. Percentage of employees that contribute 5% or greater. Do you have any stats on that?
We don't have any firm stats, but what we do have, we don't collect salary data. That's OPM has that. And we regularly do participant surveys, demographic surveys, excuse me, where we bump our data up against OPM's. We're in the process of doing that, and we'll have a new survey out at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. But from our 2006 survey, it looked like roughly 25% of FERS participants are at the 5% mark.
Is that 5% or greater?
5% or greater.
Good.
Okay, and they're the ones, if any, that should stretch to do that. The CSRSers, of course, should, but the FERS would benefit more so.
Yes. I mean, with the way we structure it and the way we message this is that for CSRS, the TSP is supplemental. But for FERS, it is critical. In order to do what the FERS system was designed to do, you need to be participating at least a 5% rate.
And I agree with that.
All righty. Let's move into somewhat of the techie, not the real deep end of the pool yet. Well, let's wade in. There's an income limit, I believe, for the Roth IRA, that if your income, whether you're single, whether you're head of household, whether you're married filing joint, if your income exceeds a certain level, and let's not talk numbers because that makes people's hair hurt. And let's just talk about the concept. And so they might be locked out of being able to contribute to a Roth IRA.
Correct.
Roth thrift.
Yeah.
But I don't believe that's the case with the Roth TSP.
And this is the primary point that I want to hopefully hammer home today, is that Roth IRAs are different than Roth TSP. And in the 401k world, Roth TSP is very similar to Roth 401k. But it's still, Roth IRAs are different than Roth TSP and Roth 401ks. So many times we get questions that start this way. They'll say, I can do X in my Roth IRA. Why can't I do that in my Roth TSP? And the answer is they're different. The IRS rules that they're built on are different. And hopefully we'll try to underline some of those differences today, but I just want people to be thinking and understanding that they're not the same thing. We had talked on the car, the three of us on the way over here, and said, geez, wouldn't it be great if they just named them something different?
Yeah.
Calling them both Roth does not help us in providing clarity to this issue, and we're going to do the best we can to work through those differences and make sure that our participants are aware of them. But that's the biggest misconception that we see right up front, is people saying, if I can do this in my Roth IRA, then I should be able to do it in my Roth TSP. And the answer is often no.
And you can have both, right? You can have money going into the Roth TSP, and if you have the income level, you can also put money into a Roth IRA.
Yes.
Separately.
Yep.
Just like you can do with a traditional TSP, and you can still have an IRA.
Absolutely.
On your own.
Yep.
So if your income was below that certain level, you could do both?
Yes.
You could. Wow. Mm-hmm. That will spend everybody's money. They won't have anything to pay their bills with or eat, but they'll be heavily invested. All righty. If we move along, is the TSP Roth option available for all federal employees, no matter what their grade or pay level is, or will there be an income limit? It's a little bit the same thing, but let's just chop off that last point. Is it available to everybody?
Yes.
Okay.
Whether you're a brand new employee, ready to retire employee, high salary, low salary, and anybody who has a TSP account can make Roth contributions.
That once their payroll agency is
that's right.
Yeah, is ready to submit them, then yes, that there is no income limit. So, and this gets to the point we made earlier, is with the Roth IRA, there are certain income limits. If you make above $183,000, if you're married, then for sure you can't make a Roth IRA contribution. That person, if they're in the federal government, could make a Roth TSP contribution, just like a private sector person, if they had a Roth 401k account, could make contribution to that account. I know this is terribly confusing. We're doing the best we can to make it clear. But
and the other thing you mentioned kind of in that same topic was that you don't really have a feel. You don't know what agencies are ready to start taking in, you know, taking Roth contributions, which ones aren't. So just when you receive the money, that's when you know that agency is up and running.
Yes.
Yeah, so you don't have a running list of those agencies.
We have talked to some of them, but we there are well over 100 different payroll sources. And so The primary message that we're delivering is that we are now open for business, and we are now ready to accept Roth contributions, but we're fully aware that some of those payroll agencies are ready to go right away, and some of them have extraordinarily complex payroll systems that take a while to modify and won't be ready until July or September, or in some cases October.
So if you check your employer's payroll website or contact your payroll office, they should be able to tell you a better idea, right?
That's exactly correct. And that's where we're directing our participants. If they have a question about the payroll side, they should be talking to their payroll department.
Good. Okay, I received an email question. I think Tammy saw it as well last week, and they go, well, what are my requirements? And I answered back. I said, if you are eligible to participate in the traditional TSB, you're eligible to participate in the Roth TSB.
Yes.
Eligible.
Yes.
Doesn't mean you can fund both to their max, but you can participate. And it was kind of an easy way to answer a hard question.
Yep. The we are open for business, and there is no eligibility differences between traditional to the Roth TSB accounts.
And there's also not a difference in how much you can contribute. It's still the same elective deferral limits, whether you're splitting it up between the two types of TSP or whether you're putting it all in one, right?
Absolutely correct. And thank you for pointing that out, because we haven't had it much lately, but a year or so ago, people were thinking that you could put twice as much money in by splitting. And the answer is no. The total dollars that you can put in are no different now than they were last year.
Mm-hmm. So if you've already put in $8,000 so far this year, then you can only put in the other $9,000 if you want to distribute it to the Roth.
That's correct. Yeah.
So it's not another $17,000.
Nope.
Okay.
Okay. That's a good question, Tammy. Let me take a little bit further. I'm veering off
our extensive outline.
Our 7-page outline.
We usually don't have an outline, but this week we've had so many questions. I mean, if you are listening and you wrote in a question, we may or may not get to them. There's just a ton.
Yeah.
This was a very popular day today.
Let's say that I did want to participate now that I can, and I can. Let's just say that. And like Tammy says, I put X dollars in thus far in the traditional TSP, and now I want to put the same amount, but I want it to go to the Roth TSP. When the money goes into the Roth TSP, does it have to follow the same profile of my money in my traditional TSP?
Yes. Yeah. So where does the investment go? In other words, if I invest my pre-tax money 50% to the C fund and 50% to the G fund, do I have my Roth money do the same thing? And the answer is yes. So there is no difference in investment allocation between the two sources. And there are a couple areas where we said to ourselves as record keepers that we need to design this in such a way that it's simple, both for the participant to understand and both for us administratively to get done and get done in a timely fashion. And so this is one of those areas where we chose simplicity and the investment choices are the same for pre-tax and Roth.
So when you make an inter-fund transfer, you're transferring both your traditional and your Roth at the same place.
That's correct.
The same.
Yep.
Oh, okay. I learned that today.
Okay, so they mirror each other, and I've gotten some less than flattering comment. Why can't I do this here and do that there? Well, you can't.
Yeah. And just to I want to back up for a second and just kind of talk a little bit about the history of this. So in 2009, the president signed the TSP Enhancement Act. And that was legislation that we had worked to get through the Congress and then to the president, and we were very pleased when that occurred. It had multiple different facets to it. In 2009, immediately after passage, we set up immediate contributions. People may not remember, but it used to be when a new employee joined the federal government, they had to wait between 6 and 12 months before they started earning any government contributions, any employer or money. We fixed that in 2009 and as a result of the legislation. So that was project number one. Project number two was done in 2010, also as a result of the same legislation. It was automatic enrollment, which is a huge improvement and a large project. In 2011, we moved to establish spousal or beneficiary accounts so that if I die, my wife can actually have an account with the TSP. And finally, in 2012, we're moving forward on Roth. We had to make some choices here as to get this up and running and to do it in a way that could be functional and do it at a reasonable time period. And this is one of those choices.
Okay. We have been talking about 401ks because they are the twin of the TSP, but not necessarily. Mm-hmm. The 401k, affectionately, I talk about it in class. I said, that's the IRS code section number. Not that I'm a codee, but it's IRS section 401, little paragraph K, says all salary income is taxable except for the amount that you put into that. But the thrift is not a 401k. Just the basic thrift. It walks and quacks like a 401k, but it's got its own IRS code section number. I don't want to talk about code section number. I don't even, it's 77 something, right? Thank you. I'm not a code section type. But anyway, so it's got its own thing. So when we talk about the Roth TSP, it's not the same thing as a Roth 401k, although they walk and quack like each other.
Correct. We are treated just like a qualified plans, qualified under Section 401A of the Internal Revenue Code. And the section that you're talking about is Section 7701J, which says that the thrift savings plan will be treated as if it were a 401K.
But if the law changes that affects a 401K plan, for instance, being able to take your annual leave check and put it into a 401K, that doesn't necessarily mean that you can do that with the TSP unless a similar law is affected.
That is correct. And so one of the things we're always doing is anytime there is legislative action that affects 401K plans, we're always asking ourselves do we at the TSP need to take action to make sure that this is applicable to the TSP. And sometimes we're able to take that action, and sometimes we're not.
And that one for the rolling over of the annual leave check to the TSP is in a bill that's in the House that got passed, passed the House last week.
There are actually two bills that would allow that. One is a House transportation bill, and then the other is a bill that just was marked up by the House Government Reform Committee two or three weeks ago, and they're hoping to take that to the House floor this summer.
Okay.
But we will see.
So it's still working its way. It hasn't happened yet, though.
It has not happened yet, but we're hopeful.
And this is one of the issues in which we've said, the president devoted a speech to this on I think it was 2008 or 2009, and we were frustrated because the rest of the world could do it and the TSP couldn't. And we need legislative action to make it happen, and we're still working it.
It's getting there.
All righty. We're on the page 2 and left-hand side, handwritten D. There was a flurry of activity, about 2 weeks ago, Tammy, where people were kind of upset that Congress, in considering different revenue raisers, were going to go into 401k plans and tax the 401k.
I know. I sent all those to you, Bob. You're the tax man.
Yeah. No. You can never say never, but this is about as close as you can never say never. Many years ago, I won't mention the administration. I won't say the number of years ago, but it was a good few. And there was something on the table at one point to go into 401ks, retirement plans, and tax 10% of them. It didn't go very far, but it was one of the things. Kind of you throw everything out on the table, and some you knock on the floor because they don't belong on the table. That was one of them. But the folks that read this last week, we must have gotten 10 of those. And Tammy, like she said here, this is a tax thing, Bob. Kind of like I go, this is a benefits thing or Social Security, Tammy.
But did they mean that they thought they were going to tax the money while it's sitting in your TSP? Oh,
yeah,
but that's not happening.
We haven't seen anything about that.
It's just way out there. And then there was another concern. They were talking about IRS is increasing its collection activities, and they levy accounts. So if you owe the IRS money, they might come and levy your checking account, your savings account. And then they go, well, can they get into my IRA? Can they get into my TSP? And I believe there's a brick wall in front of those. But it's not a rock-solid brick wall.
Well, there is a bill pending in Congress that would say the IRS can, in fact, levy your TSP accounts. We're one of the few places where the IRS cannot do that. And the IRS and the TSP asked for some clarification on that. Congress is moving, and it wouldn't surprise me if legislation does move to say that the IRS could levy your TSP accounts as they can your other accounts.
Even while you're still
employed.
That's
the point, though. They can levy 401ks.
Yes. Right. Yes, they can levy 401ks. It would be treating, as we were just discussing a while ago, we're very similar to 401ks, so we would be treated the same as other 401ks.
Okay. I hope my picture of the people listening now isn't, they're going to levy my 401, my thrift. No, we're just saying, can they? But most people aren't in a position where they're going to be levied. You have to really owe some money. And you, most feds aren't like that. They pay their taxes. Mm-hmm. They're actually under more of a microscope than other places as far as paying their taxes mm-hmm. go. So this isn't a general levy where they're going to run around and pull money out of the mm-hmm. thrift for taxes. That's not no. it at all. Okay. But that created more than a few concerns. All righty. If one already has Roth IRAs, and this is an interesting question. We got Roth IRAs that we got whenever we got them. Maybe it was years ago. Maybe it was months ago. I'm still on D and about midway down. Mm-hmm. Does the 5-year withdrawal clock begin anew for funds when I put money into the TSP Roth? This is a really good question. So, in other words, this person has, and we'll let it go now for a while, and then we'll come back to it in just a second. We just have a Roth IRA, and now we want to put money into a Roth TSP. Does the 5-year clock start anew?
We're talking about for withdrawals. There's a rule for withdrawing right. money from a Roth IRA that the money has to be in there for, 5 years?
Well, it doesn't have to be.
To
take it out tax-free, and then you have to be a certain age. Mm-hmm. But they're all concerned about this 5-year clock, and it is a little bit of a concern. So we had the Roth IRA. Let's forget whether it's been in there 5 years or not. And now we're going to start a Roth TSP currently. We couldn't have started before last Monday. So, and let's say that that person is somewhat close to retirement, or let's say that they just want to do it for a year or two for whatever reason. Now, there's a 5-year clock that starts ticking with that, the Roth TSP.
Correct.
Okay. Yep. Now, we have the Roth IRA, and let's be more definitional with that. Let's say that it has met the 5-year clock. It has been in there for at least 5 years. I'm skipping over a technicality here, but let's just say that it's been there for 5 years. But the Roth TSP has not. Mm-hmm. And let's say I'm going to leave federal service. And let's say that I'm 59 and a half or over, or soon to be. Does my Roth IRA grandfather in the Roth TSP if I move my Roth TSP into the IRA?
If you move the money from the TSP to the Roth IRA,
uh-huh.
yes.
Yes.
Anytime you move money from the TSP to the Roth IRA, it takes on the character.
Exactly. So actually somebody that had not met the 5-year clock with the Roth TSP, but did have a Roth IRA that had met the 5-year clock, then it gets grandpersoned in there, I suppose. That's the way to look at it.
And one way to do that would be, correct me if I'm wrong, is to do a partial withdrawal where you would take some of your TSP money and move it to your IRA, which again is going to be your traditional and your Roth TSP. And then move your Roth TSP to the Roth IRA. And then that way it's part of that 5-year covered money. And then the money you leave in your TSP that's not part of that partial withdrawal, you can do something with that later. You don't have to pay tax on that now or do anything with it at the current time. Because if you do a full withdrawal, you have to make an election for everything, which means some of that TSP money may not be qualified to come out tax-free yet if you're going to do a mixed withdrawal.
Right. One thing to keep in mind, though, is that we're limited to one partial withdrawal.
Right. Which, yeah.
But yes, that is true. If you take a withdrawal out, it will come out pro rata from the traditional and from the Roth. But you can transfer it to two different places, or you can, for instance, take your traditional in cash and then transfer the Roth portion to the Roth IRA.
Correct. And I think when people make an election to take money out of the TSP after they've separated, the first election is, what do you want to do with the money? The second election is, with your Roth money, where do you want to send it? And then with your traditional money, where do you want to send it? So you're making really twofold election.
That's true.
Okay. And that's going to be confusing.
And it is. And that's really one of the reasons why we are on the radio today and why we'll be discussing this and the confusing aspects of Roth ad nauseum for the next several years. I want to underline one of the points that Larissa made, and that is the money in this, the example you just gave, Bob, the IRA money, the money that's transferred from the Roth TSP to the Roth IRA will take on the characteristics and the clock that exist in the Roth IRA.
Even though it had not met it in the Roth TSP.
That is correct.
Which is a screaming endorsement, not to take money out of y'all's pocket, but it's a screaming endorsement that if somebody can get a Roth IRA, however small, and they're doing any kind of planning, do it.
Right. And that is, we are not... We're not an asset gatherer. We're not in the business of trying to say, you know, put all your money with us. We don't have a profit motive. And so if it is wise for somebody to establish a Roth IRA that at some future date will become the depository that for dollars that currently are going into the Roth TSP, great. Yeah, but that is a personal advice decision, and it gets in the areas that we cannot advise on. But when people like Bob and Tammy provide guidance, counseling, that's fine with us.
That's true. You're not here to talk about it.
But what you should do,
right?
It's
we're
what
just
you
talking
can
about
do.
Mechanics, right. And then you can listen to our prior shows. You know, with financial planners, and certainly you should come to a seminar. But anyway, let's. Move forward. I have to ask this, and I'm totally out of whack here. This is the thing that I brought down from this morning's emails, and this is a prolific emailer to now Tammy. He doesn't do it to me anymore, but anyway, he comes up with some good questions, and one of them is, and I know what you're going to say, we want to have a bear fund. The bear fund question is very important since it tells us the type of funds. In other words, will there ever be a bear fund in addition to the CF and whatever the other ones are? And I guess we'd have a B fund for the bear fund. Do you see that happening, Greg?
I wouldn't hold your breath.
Okay.
We do have plans to look at in the future, just so you know, on a very serious note. Plans to look at the potential for a mutual fund window. And that is, and this is another item that the 2009 TSP Enhancement Act authorized us to do, and that is potentially at some future date to look at the creation of a window where participants could take some of their TSP money and invest them in a slate of different mutual funds that are out there. And could you potentially have something that is equivalent to a bear fund, I suppose, is possible. But that is several years in the future and not something we're looking at today. As we look at the core funds, we are by statute required to have very broad, primarily passively managed funds. And a actively managed bear fund does not fit with our design.
Yeah, this same writer, he wanted to know about the role of the TSP board, and are the board minutes available that people can read them if they want to?
Yes, they are. They're online. If they go to www.frtib.gov, you can find the board minutes.
That's the acronym for the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board,
Absolutely. Not
the TSP.gov.
Exactly.
Site.
So, yep, they are available.
And our meetings are public. You know, so
you can even attend a meeting if you want to.
And members of the press are often in the room, and you know, we take care of the money for 4.5 million people, and people should know what the decisions are.
That's right.
All righty, we're on. Oh boy, question E on page 2. Now this is from a financial planner. And mirrored much of the discussions that we talked about, why can't there be other investments other than what's in there, and made a comment, there's a general rule with investments that you should not have money invested in the market if you're planning to take it out within 5 years, and that's, I guess, somewhat why the L funds were brought into focus. And but if you have dual funds with two spouses that are feds, and they have the majority of their money tied up in the TSP, I think what the question is this provides them not as much investment opportunity as they might like, because they got the same choices in each one of their TSPs.
Well, I think her main question was, why can't we pick and choose which funds our money comes out of? Because she wanted the flexibility to say, if I want to just take money out of the G fund, why can't I do that?
Well, couldn't you do that by doing an interfund transfer, trying to make prior to making the election.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you can affect get to the same place. And like all things, what we struggle with is how do we roll out any enhancement in such a way that it is cost effective to do it, easy to understand, and can be executed in massive quantities and to be done accurately. And so this is one of those areas where if we allowed multiple people to say, I want to take a certain distribution, but I want to do it from this fund and a different percentage than actually allocated, the complexity that would arise out of that would translate to more confusion and likely error. And we didn't want to do that.
Okay, there was a caller that just called in, and we just can't take calls right now. We have so much to do. But, Andrew, if you'd be good enough to take their phone number, we'll try to get back to them after we go off air. Thanks. All righty, so where were we? Page 2, let's go down to the bottom at G. If an individual starts and funds a Roth TSP but will retire before the five-year hold but will turn 75 shortly after retirement, in other words, they're going to retire soon but not long enough to meet the five-year hold, what will the tax ramifications be with the required minimum distribution? All righty, so we got somebody that's close to 70 and a half, put money in and is going to leave soon after 70 and a half, well before the five-year hold period would kick in for the Roth TSP. When the required minimum distribution kicks in after they leave federal service, that's a key that isn't the same with an IRA. What happens?
RMDs are taxed the same way that any other distribution is. So since they haven't met their five-year hold period, their Roth earnings would be taxable. However, if 5 years down the road they're still receiving RMDs, they have now met the five-year hold period, any of those RMDs would be entirely tax-free.
And could they still do the same thing we said before, would be if they have an existing Roth IRA, or could they establish a Roth IRA and move that Roth distribution to that Roth IRA?
Well, you can't transfer an RMD, but you could perhaps transfer the remainder, the portion that is not an RMD. Yes.
Okay, yeah, I don't want to put you on the spot here because I don't know the answer, and I'm sure you would know before I would anyway. But let's say that I did do that, and I didn't know the rules, and now I have to take something out and go, well, I'm going to transfer it over to a Roth IRA. What if I don't have a Roth IRA? Can I establish a Roth IRA by transferring the TSP in? TSP?
Yes.
Okay. But then you still have the five-year test.
Right. You still got the five-year test, right.
Yeah. Right. And when, like we said earlier, when you transfer money to the Roth IRA, it takes on the character of the Roth IRA. Before, we were talking in a situation where this person had met their five-year period. In this situation, they have not met their five-year period in the Roth IRA. So when they transfer money over to that Roth IRA, their five-year period would start over.
And they'd have to take distributions anyway.
Do they get the FIFO because it's coming out of an IRA rather than the mixture if it came out of the Roth TSP? I'm way out in the clouds with that.
You are.
Okay, I'm sorry. I can't help myself. But I think it would, because if it takes all the other characteristics, then the first money coming out is non-taxable.
Yes.
Whereas the first money coming out of the Roth TSP is a blended. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Sorry.
I guess this is going to be a difference, too, whenever people take distributions at the end of the year. I'm sure you send out some sort of a 1099 to tell people. So in this case, it's going to show a difference of money coming out of Roth versus traditional.
We're going to issue two 1099-Rs, one for the Roth portion and one for the tax-deferred portion.
That'll simplify it.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Let's keep moving now. I jumped from page 2 to page 5 in this outline.
There is no 3 and 4.
Yeah. In my world. I can't get past 2.
Those are unlucky numbers for you, I guess.
All righty. So general questions on the TSP. Another one on, can we have REITs? And I think, Greg, you hit that. But we just get that an awful lot. Yeah, is there a discussion to have other things? Yes. Or it can be everything under the investment rainbow? No.
We do, and actually just recently did an analysis taking a look at what is out in the marketplace. Are there any holes within the TSP investment structure, and we will continue to do that. I anticipate every few years we'll continue to look at this exact same question, which is, should we be adding an additional fund to our core fund lineup? It is not a change that we will make lightly. And just most recently, we were taking a look at the international index and whether we should look at it at a change in that index, and we chose not to. But I wouldn't be expecting a significant add to our core fund lineup to add REITs or to add a gold fund or to add anything like that. It's just not what the TSP is designed to do.
No, and right. Being such a large employer-sponsored plan, I think that's part of your hesitancy, is to make sure you know what you're doing before you make a significant change. Because my understanding, isn't it the world's largest employer-sponsored savings plan?
It is. Well, it is the world's largest plan, 4.5 million participants. And before we make any changes, we've got to think long and hard about the impact, not just on the record-keeping standpoint, but also on the communication standpoint, and what is the message that we're sending to all of those people. And so we don't make changes lightly.
Can I ask you a question? This goes back to when you were last on the show. Maybe my memory's more vivid than what happened. But we were talking about the opportunity to take monthly withdrawals from the TSP, let's just call it the TSP. Mm-hmm. And there are two choices. One where it's kind of mechanical based on value at the end of the year divided by life expectancy. And the second one, it's more consumer driven, if you will. It's the individual that says, I want X dollars a month. Mm-hmm. And they can change their mind. I believe it was limited to once a year. I won't say limited. It was once a year where they could say, I don't want $300 anymore. I want $200 or I want $400. So in the year after they made the first election, they could change their mind and increase or decrease the monthly withdrawal from the TSP other than the RMDs.
So what you're getting to here is payments based on life expectancy or payments based on
direction.
Direction. Yeah.
Specific
and,
amount.
We are working on taking a look at our overall withdrawal flexibility. And it's kind of a longer-term question, but we are...
So I did remember, because I remember once, because I get in class, why can't I do it more than once? Yeah. And I said, well, every time you add another hoop to jump through with the TSP, you add administrative costs, and that's probably one answer. Mm-hmm. But I said, I thought I remembered, but it isn't even on the drawing boards, that there was some discussion to add maybe a more than once. I'm not putting words in anybody's mouth, but that's what I remember.
This is not one a topic that I particularly prepped for today.
So let's get off of it.
But it is something that we are looking at, and specifically the flexibility around changing monthly payments. We are absolutely looking at.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry.
I think another thing worth mentioning is that if you go to tsp.gov, and right now it's the banner on the homepage, you know, Roth TSP. Yep. If you click on that, you can find some very basic information that's going to answer, I'd say, 95% of the questions that we get, some of these technical ones.
And thank you, Tammy. And it's one of the challenges that we have, which is we've come up with what we think is a very robust educational campaign, and the information is there, but not everybody knows where to find it. And so the more we can direct people to the questions and answers that are at tsp.gov, the videos, the tools that allow people to understand exactly what Roth means, the better we'll all be. And so we invested a lot of time and money and resources into building educational tools. There'll be a whole slate more of them that come out over the next 6 months. And it is a complicated issue. And I want to make sure that people look before they leap when it comes to Roth, because I get a little bit nervous that people hear the words tax-free and new and think I should be doing Roth. And you've really got to think long and hard mm-hmm. about your future expectation of income and tax rates before you do.
Okay.
And also the benefit of putting the money in as employees, because I think the reason why a lot of our employees, especially closer to retirement, like the TSP, is because they're lowering their taxable income by making contributions. Mm-hmm. And that won't be the case if they transfer that money to the Roth.
And so this is another headline that I wanted to have, is if people put the same amount of money in a Roth account that they were doing today in the pre-tax account, their take-home pay shrinks.
A lot.
Yeah, and people need to know that. They will have less money to pay the mortgage and buy groceries if you put the same amount into a Roth account. Yeah. And that's the pay me now or pay me later impact. And it's something that people need to think long and hard about before they do.
Okay. Now, this is Tammy and I asking this question because it's a little bit investment oriented. It would appear, just broad spectrum, that the younger one might be in making this decision, the better they might be by able to doing it because it would provide a lifetime, if you will, of tax-free compounding. Mm-hmm. And you'd give up the tax benefit because you were making less than what you're going to make mid-career mm-hmm. or late in your career. Alrighty, so let's say that somebody does do this. Mm-hmm. One reason younger folks put money into IRAs as well as 401ks as well as the TSP is they can borrow when they want to buy the first home. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now, you know, for whatever reason, they put money into the Roth TSP. They never had any traditional TSP. And they want to borrow some money to buy a home or just to take it out. Now, it would depend on how long they had it in there as to the taxability of it. Mm-hmm. If it had been in there for a short period of time, probably wouldn't have enough to put down as a down payment, but there wouldn't be much earnings probably mm-hmm. if it was very short. But are they subject to a penalty? And the answer is no.
Well, a couple of points, and I'm going to ask Larissa to make sure I'm on the right side of this, but there is first of all, there are loans. There are distributions, and we've talked about what happens when you take a distribution. But in this particular case, the participants are eligible to take a loan, and one regular loan, we call it, and then potentially an additional real estate loan for a primary residence. So there's that ability against your TSP account is you can borrow money, but you have to pay it back, and that's an important point. There are also mechanisms under which you can have distributions. Now, that is a more complicated, and people need to recognize that they're making a deal when they participate in the TSP. The deal is with Uncle Sam that says that when you put money in, you understand that you can only take the money out when you have a distributable event, and that is usually when you turn 59 and a half or you separate. And so that's when you can take your money out. So if you are planning on, as you're making contributions and you're 35, 40 years old with the expectation of taking it out in 5 years, then TSP is not the place to put those dollars. This is retirement money. And if you're planning on saving for a house, that this is probably not the best place right. to do it.
One thing, one caveat that I'd like to add is that if you take a loan out for a new home from the TSP, that loan will never be a qualified Roth distribution. Even if you have met the five-year period and you have a distributable event, i.e. perhaps because you're 59 and a half, you take that loan out, those earnings will still be taxed.
Right.
If you don't pay the loan back to your account.
Correct. Yeah. If it's a taxable distribution, you don't get the benefit of tax-free earnings from Roth.
And how that could happen, I would think, is if an employee, let's say, like you said, is 59 and a half and they're leaving federal service and they still owe $20,000 on their residential loan and they don't want to pay it back, that would be a taxable event. And what you're saying is they would still have to pay tax on the earnings even if they've met the five-year test.
Correct.
Oh, I understood. Yay.
Now, when borrowing money, let's go back to the earlier comment. It comes out, when you take a loan for whatever reason, mm-hmm. it comes out pro rata based on where the money is within the fund. Mm-hmm. So, and it's paid back at the G fund rate at the day you make application. Mm-hmm. What if you transfer all the money to the G fund before taking the loan out, and then you're not taking anything pro rata out? It's all coming out of the one that's, in mm-hmm. theory, earning the least.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then borrow the money and then reallocate it back to where it was before you did this jumping through hoops.
And so the question there is, is the interest rate that's being earned on the loan because you're paying yourself back, is it replacing what you would have had otherwise? And you're repaying it to yourself at the rate that the G fund was at that day. And I don't have a crystal ball. Nobody knows what the G fund is going to earn next month, or certainly what any of the equity or bond funds are going to earn next month. So I can't say that for sure. If the G fund earned the exact same amount in the future during your loan repayment period, as the day you took it out, then yeah, you'd be repaying at the same rate that you would have earned had the money stayed in the G fund.
Except while the money's out on loan, it's not earning any interest until you get it back into the account.
That's a very good point, Tammy. Yes.
Oh, and I'd suggest also another. I noticed you updated the. I don't know if it's a pamphlet. It's called a tax notice. Mm-hmm. It's called Important Tax Information About Payments from Your TSP Account. And I would encourage people to read this before they decide to do Roth TSP, and then you'll understand how the distributions work. Because this pamphlet went from 4 pages to 8, mm-hmm. and I think most of it had to do with the introduction of the Roth distributions.
You're absolutely correct. And one of the challenges that we have is when we have forms that are required for people to fill out, and we've done an awful lot of work trying to make them as simple as possible, but this topic is simply not simple. It's all, and we are challenged with how to build the form the right way. And so when you hear me say a few times that we've made choices to make things simpler, really what we've decided is to try to limit the complexity as best we can, but it is a more complex topic now that we have Roth.
Well, I'm going to have to face that this week because I've been buying time up until this show. And I said, listen, I don't want to get into this, but we'll have the Mavens coming in on the 14th, and I'll be able to speak better. I'm going to get killed again in the ratings because I used to talk about the Roth IRA and, you know, this is what to do. And one agency banned me because you're talking over their heads, but it was really to their benefit. Anyway, let me shut up. We have 1 minute.
Okay.
Final comments. Kim?
I just, as Greg said, you need to talk to your payroll offices to find out when they're ready to start taking your Roth money, if it's the right choice for you.
Great.
Yeah, I'm just gonna, one quick thing. So the difference, in general, the difference between Roth TSP and traditional TSP is that Roth TSP balance is funded with after-tax dollars, while the traditional TSP is funded with pre-tax dollars. After-tax dollars represent money for which taxes are paid in the current year. Pre-tax dollars are those that do not represent federal taxable income in the current year. Long story short, pay me now, pay me later. That's the choice people are making with Roth.
Okay, we gotta wrap it up. Tammy?
Everything they said.
Okay, great. Thanks for listening. We'll be on next week. What is it, Tammy? Quick, is it the lady
it's the
show?
Women's show.
Yes.
Yeah, next Monday is Ann Vincent, myself, and who is our guest?
I know I'm not going to be here. Thanks for listening, and tune in next week.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. The show can also be heard 24/7 on federalnewsradio.com. Thanks for listening.